So can you give us a brief overview of how the roles of our state governments have changed throughout history?
Yeah, I mean, I think state governments were in a much more powerful position, you know, perhaps even 50 years ago, certainly a century ago, when you know, Federation first happened. The Australian Constitution gave, you know, obviously, pretty substantial powers to the federal government, but it left a great deal with the states. And most importantly, in the sort of early 20th century, financial power wasn't, you know, as concentrated in the federal government as it is today. So, I mean, that's been one of the really big changes, I think, across the last century, is the way in which the taxing powers and more generally the financial clout, if you like, of federal government has increased enormously at the expense of the states. I mean, the critical moment was probably in the 1940s when the federal government got control of income tax. And you know, the states have become somewhat subordinate, you know, around those sorts of issues. But, you know, they still have obviously a hell of a lot of hands-on kind of day-to-day functions that matter to people's lives. So that there's a kind of mismatch, if you like, between what state governments do and their actual independent ability to raise the money to do it.
Mm. So you were mentioning these changes before. There's been plenty of them throughout history, but how well do you think a system of government that was implemented all those years ago is able to continue to serve modern Australia?
Yeah, look, people criticise federal systems of government. I think on the whole, people now more or less accept that state governments are here to stay. There is duplication between federal and state government. There is overlap. There's inefficiencies. There's buck passing. All of those sorts of things. But it's also true that, you know, there's been machinery, I suppose, has been devised to sort of deal with some of those issues. I mean, a good example is the Council of Australian Governments that was formed in the early 1990s and which kind of works thematically in a way. It sort of takes an issue that is, you know, relevant to both federal and state government and tries to work around that cooperatively. And sometimes that works well, sometimes not quite so well. So look, on the whole, I'm pretty optimistic about federal systems of government generally, and certainly for a country like Australia, I think it'd be very difficult to have a unitary system of government given, you know, the vast geographical expanse of the country. I think in a lot of ways a federal system, you know, continues to make sense in Australia. No doubt it could be made to work better. I mean, when it doesn't work well, it's very costly. I mean, you know, if we don't have a health system that's working optimally because federal and state governments can't get on, you know, that really harms people's lives. So, you know, that all matters. But I think on the whole, federal systems work pretty well. I mean, it seems to me they offer electors choice. I mean, it's quite common that, you know, you'll have, you know, in any particular state, you might have a government from one party and the federal government will be from another party. And I think that is a healthy thing. I mean, it means you have variety, you have checks and balances, and that when electors, you know, are voting, they actually have some choice. You know, they can kind of take a horses for courses approach and say, well, you know, I'll support a coalition or whatever at the federal government, but I want a state Labor government because I think a Labor government will be better at delivering health or education in my particular city and in my particular state. So, you know, I think that sort of thing does have an actual benefit to democracy.
Mm-hmm. So, thinking theoretically here, what would happen in Australia if we just got rid of the state governments? Where would that leave us?
Yeah, the usual way that's been considered is that you would empower regional and local governments. So back in the 1970s, take one period where, you know, some of these ideas were floating around. Gough Whitlam, I think, wanted to, you know, establish regional governments, much more empowered regional governments that would effectively have been a kind of a form of local government, and that they would perform a lot more functions. They would have a close relationship with the federal government in Canberra, and that states would be somewhat marginalised. So that's the usual way in which it's thought of, that you'd have, you know, perhaps 20 regional governments around Australia, some of them essentially city governments, you know, based on Melbourne or, you know, part, you know, probably have more than one for Sydney. And that would be kind of the alternative to the three tiers that we have at the moment. But in practical terms, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. The constitutional barriers to that are really substantial. I don't think there's a great deal of popular support for it. I mean, once upon a time, the Labor Party was, you know, opposed to state government. It would have, you know, favoured the abolition of the state. That was its formal sort of policy, if you like. Mm. But I think it's gradually become much more reconciled to some of the benefits of actually having state government, and particularly, I think, in terms of the checks and balances on a federal government. And we all know what politicians are like, don't we? I mean, basically, you know, if you give them the kinds of powers that federal government, you know, has, they'll use them, and not always to the benefit of the public.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, well,
give you any number of instances.
I can think of a few.
Okay.
So again, speaking theoretically here, if you could, what would you change about our state government system as it is?
Yeah, so look, I think one of the issues of state government is that it is too financially dependent on the Commonwealth. I mean, this is a sort of a hoary old cliche of Australian politics, really, which points to, you know, the fact that the federal government, they call it vertical fiscal imbalance is this technical term they use.
Wow.
It's a really, if you can say something in a complicated way, why would you choose something that way? But the basic idea is the federal government has a lot of power to raise taxes and state government doesn't. And, you know, in fact, back in the 1990s, the High Court struck down a number of state taxes that were in existence and back then, and so its capacity to raise income is quite slight. And there is an issue, I guess, around responsibility and accountability. If, you know, the Commonwealth or federal government controls the purse strings, but state governments have to deliver the services, you know, the schools, the hospitals, and all the rest of it. So, you know, I think if it were ever possible to alleviate that situation, it would be great. But look, politicians have been talking about this for years, and not surprisingly, federal politicians aren't very keen on the idea of actually giving up taxing powers. I mean, in fact, you can normally tell when a federal government's not going anywhere or is in trouble. It'll raise the idea of state governments raising income tax again. It's sort of one of those cliches of Australian politics. Turnbull did it almost as soon as he got into office. He sort of, you know, started playing with ideas around this sort of thing, and they inevitably go nowhere because no one wants to get in a situation where they're paying income tax at two levels of government.
Mm.
And state governments, quite frankly, don't really, on the whole, want to start raising new taxes because they know it would be unpopular. So
yeah.
I think that is a kind of a problem in the system, though, because it means that, you know, state governments, if you like, are accountable to electors, but they actually don't have enough control over the money, if you like, to be able to fully account for themselves.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Frank.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers.